It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else. This is The Stinking Truth. Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, guys, welcome into Stinking Truth Podcast, the leftover edition, as I called the Giants-Washington game last weekend. Very exciting game. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. And yeah, it ended up being a really interesting game. It went right down to the end. And I'm curious to get into some of the things that maybe you didn't get to get to on the broadcast. That's kind of the idea behind the leftovers. So let's do this.
So here's, I brought my board here. You can see my little board that I hold during the game, and it's got all the players and some notes to myself. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the victors. Let's start with Washington. I think a lot of Washington fans probably, you know, with the interviews that you do prior to the game, the coaches, Jaden Daniels, I think there's probably a lot of curiosity about just your overall impressions being around Jaden Daniels for a couple of days.
So Jaden Daniels, one, Dan Quinn called him a key card guy. First guy in the building. Wants the key card. Wants the guy, like, he's the first guy in the building. Amazing, like, work ethic, study, cannot get enough. Is a big-time kind of football appetite guy. And so he said, man, he's got the humility of a young guy. He's got the confidence of a veteran. He's got unbelievable toughness. And I saw it in the game, man. He took a shot to the ribs. Gosh, who hit him? I can't remember who hit him, but maybe it was Frankie Louvu. I don't know. No, that Frankie Louvu plays on his team. it was somebody from the Giants, obviously, that hit him. And anyhow, took a shot to the ribs, and I was like, oh my God, he may never get up. Like, that might have killed him. And he took one. He was on the sideline for one play. Bam, right back in. And finish that game. And just so he has this toughness and this appetite for understanding. Now, one of the cool things, Mike, is he uses the Oculus. You know that, like, the virtual reality thing?
Put it on the,
So you put the goggles on, right? And you're sitting looking at these goggles, and it's the stadium, right? You got the whole stadium. And as you're looking around, you can see, like, the names. Like all the Ring of Fame, Daryl Green, you know, Art Monk, Charles Mann, not Mark Schlereth.
I was going to say, is he up there? Is Russ that name Grimm. Up there?
Yeah. So as you're looking at it, right, and you got the defense, and you can see the whole defense, right, and all your receivers in the formation. And then on the Oculus, and I had it on. I'm running plays on the Oculus. I got a little joystick in my hand. I can throw the ball, right? And so I'm watching the whole thing, and Cliff Kingsbury will come out, and he'll give you a play. Like, he'll have the play. And so Jaden can listen to the play. So it comes through the Oculus. You can hear it. It's like trips right, nasty, H left, outside, two jet branch, Buffalo, can it with 18 handoff, strong, on two, on two, on two. So he's like, blue 80, hi-hi. And he drops back and goes, boom. And he throws the, you know, the pick curl or whatever. And it's pretty cool, man. Like, it's pretty cool. And you can speed it up. And Jaden spends a lot of time on this device, kind of a couple hours a day at home, kind of going through all the plays and hearing the play calls, being able to repeat the play calls, and then being able to see, because it's programmed. So you're getting, like, when you're working against the Giants, you're getting the Giants defense. And he said one of the things that helps him do is, and this is kind of advanced quarterbacking, if you will, eliminate a side. So you walk up, and normally how the NFL works are a lot of plays, not all the time, but it works like this a lot, where, like, you're in a 2x2 formation. And so you have a man beater side and a zone beater side. And so you walk up, and you're like, you survey the situation. You're going, oh, okay, they're in man-to-man coverage. So I'm not even going to look at the zone beater side. Screw it. I'm going right to the man beater side, right? So on the zone beater side, let's say you have, you know, whatever. Like, you have a route combination of a flat comeback or whatever, right? And on the man side, you got double lines, double slants over here, right? And so you just look at it and go, oh, no, I'm going over here. Blue 80, blue 87. And you go right to it and throw a slant. And you're not even looking at that other side. Like that's advanced. Like, a lot of young guys can't comprehend, or I've never talked to them that have really comprehended that kind of stuff. So it's unbelievable, like, the advancement of him. And then I thought Cliff Kingsbury, really interesting talking to Cliff Kingsbury, because Cliff, you know, is this air raid guy who had Patrick Mahomes, who had Baker Mayfield, who had Kyler Murray, that never won with any of those guys at the level you need to win with those guys. But to really look at himself and say, what do I have to do to take the best of kind of a spread offense, especially with Jaden Daniels, who's really good at this stuff, and then couple it with more of an NFL offense.
Right.
And that's where Anthony Lynn comes in, my former teammate, former head coach of the Bills, guy that really understands the run game and having to marry and morph those things together. And, you know, I talked to him about the getting in more under center stuff. And he's like, we're working toward that. You know, footwork is always the issue with that when you've got a guy that's primarily a shotgun quarterback. Right. So, you know, we're working in. They had 5 or 6 plays week one. They wanted to get it up to 20 plays in week two. And so really, like, really interesting, but a lot of talent. McLaurin's very talented. You know, Brian Robinson can really play. He went off at his best game ever as far as a runner is concerned. So they were outstanding, really outstanding. And so offensively, I thought they did a great job until they got in the red zone. They were in the red zone. They made 4 trips in the red zone. They had 4 offsides penalties in the red zone that basically knocked them into kicking the 7 field goals they kicked. And by the way, the Giants in this game, first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns and not give up a touchdown and lose a game. And so I thought, from the Giants' perspective, I thought Daniel Jones made huge strides. And I think one of the things we always bash on Daniel Jones, because it's easy, he's low-hanging fruit, but he did a really good job. And I think one of the things we didn't give a lot of even a second thought to is Daniel Jones had ACL reconstruction late in November. He came back week one. He didn't play very well. Well, you know who else didn't play very well coming back from week one, had a wrist injury? Was Joe Burrow.
Burrow, yeah.
You know who else didn't play very well week one? Excuse me. Coming off of Achilles, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else didn't play very well, you know, coming off an Achilles in week one? Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins. Excuse me. So, like, he really played much better. Malik Nabers is a go-to guy. And the other thing that was really cool for the Giants was they challenged their offensive line. They rebuilt it this year. They challenged that offensive line. And most of the time when you face Washington, you're dealing with what I like to call scheme runs, because you're trying to run away from Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen because they're so big and so physical. And they're also big penetrators. So a lot of what your scheme runs are, meaning – what we normally run, we're not going to run as much as that. We're going to run an inside trap. So we invite one of those big behemoths to come up the field, and then all of a sudden, you know, we come flying across and we trap the guy and run in between that. Or we take a tight end from the outside and we motion him into the formation and we wham the guy. So we come across there and he doesn't see you and he hit him, and then you hit that C gap. You create C-gap type of runs away from those two guys, or you wham them or trap them, right? The Giants said, screw that. We're going to double team one of them, and we're going to run right at the damn guy. And the Giants ran the snot of the ball. Devin Singletary had a really good game. He put it on the ground once, but he had a really good game. He ran the ball. He caught it well out of the backfield. I thought the connection between Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers was supreme. It was awesome. And remember, they didn't have a field goal kicker. Graham Gano pulled his hamstring on the very first kickoff of the game and was out for the rest of the game. So they had to score touchdowns and try to go 2-point conversions the whole time. So at the end of the game, they've got a 4th down conversion. in this drive, Malik Nabers is tearing people up. I mean, just absolutely running circles around people. Gets open again, beats his one-on-one coverage. On the sideline, Daniel Jones throws an absolute strike, and it goes right through his hands on fourth down. And then Washington takes over. A couple of big throws, big throw over the top to, gosh, I think it was Noah Brown caught the ball on a deep over route from Jaden Daniels and put him in field goal range, and they end up kicking the seventh field goal for the victory. But I was really impressed. I was actually impressed with both squads, man. Played their asses off, played really hard, and in the end, you know, Washington just made enough plays.
Yeah, I know you like both coaches. I know you're a big fan of Dan Quinn, Brian Daboll as well. So what would be your message to both fan bases about where you see these teams being able to go this year? Because let's face it, I think both fan bases went in thinking pretty low expectations for this team. Did you come away from this matchup thinking maybe they might exceed those expectations?
Yeah, I thought both teams played way better in week two than they did week one. And I think, you know, you're always, and you know how this league operates, whether you play in it or whether you coach in it, you're always on the hot seat. I talked to Daboll about that. He's like, 29 years in this league. You know, I know the consequences of not winning. You're going to get fired. Like, ain't no big whoop, you know, we've all been fired before. So, but I think the Giants are better probably than people give them credit for. They need consistent play from Daniel Jones. They need to use the read zone stuff. He needs to carry the ball four or five times, six times a game. He needs the boot keep game. He needs the waggle game. He needs to get out a side half field read. He needs that stuff because he's a real big time sight thrower. Like, I see a guy open, whoo, it's gone. He's not as good, you know, when you're running progressions, and sometimes he'll get to the point where he's just, you know, I did a whole tape breakdown of him just kind of red striping guys, just locking in a guy, and you watch DBs from 15, 20 feet away just whoo, go across the formation and tip one down or pick one off. So you've got to, as a coach, keep him out of those situations. But I was impressed, man. I thought the Giants are a lot better than their 2-0 record would indicate. I still think there's some work to do in DC. Like they've got, but they're on the right track. They got the right man to get it done. They probably still, especially defensively, they've got some work to do to get better on that side of the ball from a personnel standpoint. They got a couple of young players. This Mike Sanristil is really good at the nickelback position. I thought he played exceptionally well. Jeremy Chinn is going to find a position where, you know, in Carolina he was positionless. He played all over the place. He'll be a safety. I think that'll be a great spot for him. But I think they've got the right guy in Dan Quinn to get them back to being, because Washington, when I came there, man, crown jewel, Mike. Crown jewel, and they're just not that anymore.
All right, great stuff. Who do you got next week, by the way?
I've got Detroit at Arizona, and let me just tell you, and we'll talk about this later on in the week, I just watched Arizona's film from last week. That was one of the most epic performances by any quarterback I've ever watched in my NFL career.
Whoa, that's a hot tease for later in the week.
Wow. Kyler Murray. Oh. Kyler Murray was like, he was like, fuck it, I can do no wrong. He was throwing balls. He was like, you can't throw that ball, dude. You can't throw that. No, it's a perfect throw into double coverage. Yeah, okay, good. You got it. Like, it was mind-blowing. He even did a Steph Curry.
Okay.
He scrambled around the pocket, took off one way, took off the other way, climbed the pocket, went to the side, threw it across his body, let it go. And then you know what he did? He threw it across his body, let it go. As it was about halfway to the receiver, he turned around and went like this. Walked off. Walked off. That's a touchdown, and walk back toward the bench. I was like, oh, you're all balls. You are all balls, kid. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Just absolutely awesome. So we'll tell that story again later on in the show, later on the podcast, later on this week on Thursday. So anyhow, stay tuned for that. For everybody involved in the Stinkin' Truth podcast, the Leftovers version, thank you so much for watching. We appreciate it. For Mike, I am Mark, and we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.